Casey Corcoran Podcast.
One of the questions that people who are in our business are always asked is about on-air bloopers. And I'm sure that all of you have your own horror stories that maybe you can look back on and laugh sometime later where you got tongue-tied or you said something where a double entendre wasn't intended, but that meaning was definitely taken. I've been involved in a few. I was on the air 3 or 4 years ago doing the Saturday Game of the Week with Tony Kubek in Toronto. And at that time, Tommy John was bouncing from team to team. And he'd just been released by the Angels, and Oakland had signed him. And Oakland's playing the Blue Jays, and there's Tommy John sitting in the dugout for the first time in an Oakland uniform, but they hadn't technically activated him yet because they were going to send him to the minor leagues just to get some work in to get his arm in shape. So we're in the middle of the game, and the camera settles upon Tommy John, and I try to think of an appropriate caption to write beneath the picture there, and I say, well, there's Tommy John. He'll be in the Oakland rotation soon, but he needs a little work first, so he'll be pissing in Appleton on Monday. It didn't sound quite right as it came out of my mouth, and I looked at Kubek, who was a great help. He just kind of stared at me and fell silent. And so then I'm looking for the appropriate next sentence, and I say, well, Tony, come to think of it, he'll probably do both if he stays there long enough. So, and then the next week, I'm walking down the hall at NBC, and here comes Letterman, who's a big baseball fan, and he says, hey, you got a tape of the sixth inning from Saturday? I'd like it for my archives. So, but the single greatest one I've ever heard, thankfully I wasn't involved in, but I was witness to, and it happened in the summer of 1977, and this would only be tellable if it were true, and it is true 100% verbatim. 1977, midweek afternoon game, Busch Stadium in St. Louis, the Cardinals against the Cubs. At that time, the Cardinals had a three-man broadcasting team. Jack Buck, Mike Shannon, who's still there, former Cardinal player, now announcer, and a guy named Bob Starr, who went on to do the Angels games and now is in Boston doing the Red Sox. And this particular day, on a Wednesday afternoon, in front of a relatively sparse crowd, happens to be National Dairy Day at the ballpark. It's, you know, one of your big promotional days, and people flock from surrounding states to be there for the festivities. And, you know, they put up on the board, welcome members of the National Dairy Council. And then the guy from the National Dairy Council shows up in the booth to schmooze with the announcers. Now, in St. Louis, there's a two-tiered broadcast booth at Busch Stadium. The announcers are down on the lower level overlooking the field. But then there's a short flight of stairs, 3 or 4 steps up to a second level where visitors can sit. So in walks this guy from the National Dairy Council, and he sits down as Buck is announcing the game. And Buck says, well, up steps Hector Cruz. He's hitting 265, curveball in the dirt for ball one. So, Mr. Jones, have you enjoyed your visit to St. Louis? Oh, yeah, Jack, you know, up in Wisconsin, ever since the Braves left for Atlanta, we don't see much National League ball. We love the Brewers, but great to see the senior circuit. Fastball up and in, 2-0 to Hector Cruz. And the guy has brought with him a woman who is billed as Miss Cheesecake. Now, Miss Cheesecake is dressed in a one-piece white bathing suit with white high heels, like she's in a beauty pageant, and the streamer going across says, instead of Miss Wisconsin or something, Miss Cheesecake. And she brings with her 3 individual boxes of cheesecake, like 2 sliced cheesecakes, and she presents 1 to each of the announcers. So she sashays down the steps to great attention all over the press box. While they're announcing the game, Cruz flies to left, 1 down, and she places 1 in front of Buck, leans over with great ceremony, places another in front of Shannon, who is flabbergasted by this point, and a 3rd in front of Starr. Guy from the National Dairy Council gets up and leaves. Ken Reitz comes to the plate, fouls one back to the screen, 0-1. Ken hitting at 275, single to right, his first time up. Buck leans across Shannon and says, hey, Bob, what do you think of Miss Cheesecake? And Star, who wasn't paying much attention, thinks he said, "What do you think of this cheesecake?" And he says, "I'll tell you, Jack, I'd like to eat that right now." Well, I myself, who was standing in the back of the booth, would not have believed this had I not heard it. And Star still doesn't believe it, because he's looking around totally confused as to why everybody has dropped microphones, why they're rolling around on the upper level, why guys are slapping five, why Miss Cheesecake is even more pleased with herself than usual. Yeah, it's just a totally extraordinary set of circumstances.
Swing and another foul back into the seats. Well, Swan can't get the third one by him, and Brock can't straighten it out. Do you like cheesecake, Bob Starr?
Oh, I do, and every time I start on one of my diets, it turns out to be National Retail Baker's Week, and they bring us up.
Do you like Miss Cheesecake?
Yes, very much so. I have not had any yet, but it looks good enough to eat. Oh, look at this. Look at this.
Here's the 2-2 delivery and a changeup base hit to center by Brock. Here comes Templeton around to score. The Cardinals lead 1-0. And Brock has a base hit. Hernandez comes up.
Steve Hernandez.
Brock on in first base. He now has 42 hits for the year.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu.
J.C. Corcoran podcast on the air for the 27th of April, 2021. As fate would have it, I'm J.C. How are you doing? Hey, we're doing really well on this thing, by the way. We only launched the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and we are doing really, really well. So thank you very much for spreading the word. And, you know, outside of Facebook and me just with my big mouth, that's pretty much all we have in terms of getting the word out that we're here every day. So a lot of this is your word of mouth, and I really, really sincerely appreciate it. It's a big, big deal. We're trying to make this thing fly, and it seems to be flying pretty well so far. Well, you wouldn't necessarily think that the Oscar ceremony would end up being an issue all over social media, but it exploded yesterday, including on my Facebook page, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. The word came out that the Academy Awards show hit an all-time ratings low, just under 10 million viewers. That's about a 60% drop from last year. You know, 6 or 7 years ago, that show had an audience of over 40 million, and now it's not even 10 million? And maybe it's not a surprise, I don't know, but the conservative right seized the opportunity to enlighten us with why. And it's the usual stuff, you know, but let's try to remember the movie theaters were closed for most of the year. Few people were even familiar with the films or the stars, especially this year. Only a little over 1 in 3 adult Americans have Netflix, so you know, a lot of people just didn't even see the movies. Award shows just aren't that special anymore, and the under 35s don't even watch TV. And of course, let's not forget the depletion of disposable income since COVID hit. But, you know, none of that actual information gives conservatives a boogeyman that Fox News can slide in front of Sean Hannity. The world is changing. Ratings for the Oscars are a pretty insignificant part of most people's lives, especially in 2021. Maybe we move on. You know, when you work in a really big city, and I'm not talking about like top 20, I'm talking about top 5, as was the case with me in Houston, Texas about, what, 6-7 years ago. it's pretty incredible because you sit there at your computer, at your phone, whatever, and people just come to you. Houston, market number 4. And that's where I was working a handful of years ago. And, you know, when you get guests on the air on a radio show, it's about 50-50. About half the time, it's you chasing people down. And the other time, the other 50%, it's people trying to chase you down to get people on the air. And one day I'm sitting there and they're like, hey, and keep in mind, this is Houston, all right? I'm sitting there like, hey, Dusty Hill was wanting to know. I'm like, hold it, Dusty Hill from ZZ Top? Yeah. He's wanting to know if he can come on your radio show. Like, what the heck? Is that a trick question? What are you talking about? He lived up in this place called the Woodlands, which is the very far north end of town. I lived way, way down at the south end of town. We were less than an hour away from the ocean, as a matter of fact. I'd be out there mowing my lawn at 7 o'clock at night. The temperature would be like 106, but there was very little humidity because there was about a 30 mile an hour sustained wind coming off the ocean. And this is, you know, almost an hour away. It's just crazy when you live near the water. But anyhow, it's like, you know, Dusty Hill would like to come on the show. I'm like, of course. So you're going to hear part of that conversation at the tail end of today's podcast. And that's what we try to do. We try to give you some new stuff, a couple of old things, some things from the archives and stuff like that. And so we just sort of throw it all together. What would you do if you were me in this particular situation? Let me tell you what happens. I have two very, very good friends, and they're dealing with a car dealership, and that's all I'll say. I don't want to say anything yet because the story is yet to be complete. Anyhow, they buy a car from this dealership, and they're going to trade in the old car. So they take off with the new car. They leave the old car on the lot of this car dealership because the dealership wants to check out the car and find out how much they're going to give them. On the trade, they leave the car on the lot. Supposed to come and get the car like the next day or two, but then we had the snow. I wouldn't call it a storm, but we had the snow and things in St. Louis sort of shut down there. And to make a long story short, when they go back to the car dealership, and this is in South County, they go back to the car dealership, and when they get there, the catalytic converter is missing from the car, and the car has been significantly damaged by the people who stole the catalytic converter from the car. Big gash in the side of the car, and apparently the frame has been damaged. Car dealership says, not our fault. Call your insurance company. And she's like, hold it. Wait a minute. We left the car on your lot. The issue is, how are you going to pay for this? Not how are we going to pay for it? And the car dealership just says, mm-mm, not doing it. So it has since been revealed that the car dealership has been hit multiple times. And when I say multiple, the police say, well, sometimes it's every other night. Every other night, thieves are going onto the lot and stealing the catalytic converters from the cars. And if you're unfamiliar with this thing that's going on, there's stuff in the catalytic converter that people can make money from when they sell it. And so they steal these things and they take off and you got no catalytic converter. Well, it turns out that I have a good friend I used to play baseball with who up until just a very short time ago worked for this car dealership. So I said, hey, before you start calling all the consumer reporters at 2, 4, and 5, let me call this guy at the dealership and say, look, I'm a friend of this guy who used to work for you, but these are my friends. They're having this issue with the car being damaged, and you know they're getting ready to go public with this on the TV stations, and I can't imagine a scenario where your car dealership isn't going to end up looking pretty bad, and it's all unnecessary. Just pay for the damage. It happened while it was in your possession. You know, any lawyer, if it ever got to that point, any lawyer would just say, hold it, wait a minute. The police are reporting that this has been happening almost every other night, and a car belonging to somebody else is sitting on your lot, and these cars are getting damaged almost every other night. That's negligence. That's a clear case of negligence. But the car dealership isn't budging after I talked to him. And it was very pleasant about the first third of the call. The second two thirds of the call, you can tell they were getting really irritated with me. Like, what business is this of yours? I'm like, I'm trying to do you a favor because these people are going to go on television and trash your car dealership. And it's unnecessary if you just do the right thing here. I'm not sure they're going to. I'm not sure they're going to. Here's a pretty good story. I have a close friend for like the last 30 years. She's had all sorts of health problems. It's just one of these things where, you know, I think we all know at least maybe one person who's just sort of, you know, ailing all the time with something. And I'm not talking about, you know, fighting off cancer or something. But in this particular case, this woman has like a blood disorder. And she had to have a complete blood change a couple of years ago. Just stuff like that. You hate to see things like that happen to your friends. So just after the first of the year, she just gets sick as a dog. Worst flu ever. She goes in for a COVID test. And they stick the swab up her nose. And they call her back. And they're like, no, you're negative. It's like, what? How can that be? I've got all of the symptoms. Very little taste, very little smell, sick as a dog, worst flu she ever had, you know, just all the things that sound like COVID. She goes to a rheumatologist. The rheumatologist says, you've got COVID. You probably have long haul COVID, as a matter of fact. She goes, but I got the test and it came back negative. They're like, bullshit. Those things are wrong all the time. And so she gets shot number one of the Pfizer vaccine. That's the one that comes in two doses. And she starts to feel a little better. And then 2 weeks later, goes in. They give her the shot, the second shot. She says she feels better than she's felt in like 30 years. In other words, not only did the Pfizer vaccine cure, quote unquote, cure her of the COVID, but apparently it's also gone a very, very long way in, you know, rehabilitating her, repairing her immune system and all that sort of stuff. And she's doing great right now. You know, a lot of the greatest discoveries in science and medicine have been by mistake. The guy who invented x-rays wasn't trying to invent the x-ray. It just sort of came upon the guy as he was doing research on something else. Same thing with motors. I think also the guy with the bucket of chocolate who bumped into the guy with the bucket of peanut butter. They created the Reese's Cups. All these things are accidents, I guess you would call them. Well, wouldn't it be something that they found out that these coronavirus shots, regardless of who you get it from, cures ailments in people's bodies and people's systems that they had no idea that that would be the outcome? And by the way, I wonder how many dozen or how many hundreds of COVID movies are being written and cast right now as we speak. You know somebody's doing it. You know lots of people are doing it. Same thing with the George Floyd thing. There's probably hundreds of scripts floating around Hollywood already. I wonder how long it'll be before we see the first one. Hard to turn the TV on these days without seeing another story about some black guy getting shot by the police under suspicious circumstances. We have police gone wild. An officer in New York resigned after he was caught stealing moisturizer and women's underwear from a Walmart. The hell's going on there? And two Washington, D.C. police cars were totaled after two officers decided to drag race each other. Now, as we pointed out before, I don't understand why all of a sudden this thing sitting on Mars is being referred to as a helicopter. For the last, 10, 15 years, all we hear about is drones, right? Now, they send a drone to Mars, but suddenly it's a helicopter. How could it be a helicopter when there's nobody piloting the thing, sitting in it? It's a drone, but I don't know why they call it a helicopter, but they do. But it broke several records on Sunday morning, rising 16 feet into the air before flying about 164 feet, just over half the length of a football field, at about a top speed of 4.5 miles an hour, up from 1.1 miles an hour during previous flights last week. Might not seem like a big deal, but it is. But I mean, think about it. The signals going back and forth from Earth to Mars take about, I think it's 3.5 hours. So in other words, if you punch a button that says, adjust the solar panel 3 degrees north, you push that button and the signal is received on Mars 3.5 hours later. Now, you're the guy operating the drone. Okay, and they're like, okay, we'd like to go about 150 feet and then off to the left and off to the right. And he's thinking to himself, I'm pushing these buttons and I got this little joystick here and I'm operating this thing and it's 3.5 hours later that it's actually going to do it. How's it even possible to calculate that? The whole time he's thinking to himself, oh, I pray to God there's no trees on Mars, because if I'm operating this thing and it gets stuck in a tree at a cost of about $160 gazillion. Switching over to sex news, Two Russian tourists made a porn video on top of a sacred volcano in Indonesia, and they put it on Pornhub. And now Indonesian officials are trying to track them down because if they're still in the country, they could be facing up to 2 years in prison. And get this, a mansion that belongs to the founder of Pornhub, the guy lives in Montreal, the house, this is a big mansion, burns to the ground. They are suspecting arson. And now this.
Here's my marriage quiz. Your wife comes in and says, do you think I look fat? Do you say A, yeah, you could lose a few. B, no, honey, you've never looked better. Or C, wait, let me get my protective headgear. Well, some of you might have been encouraged to be honest about your feelings. That's what happened to me. And I said, A, yeah, you could lose a few. And as they say in the nature specials, when the wildebeest leaves the herd, sadly now, there can be but one outcome.
It's Daryl Hammond of Saturday Night Live, and that was the very first time he ever performed stand-up. That was from Letterman Show going way, way back. Well, if you're sick of only getting paid every 2 weeks, the jobs website Zippia posted a list of the top 10 jobs that make the most tips. Okay, you can probably guess what number one is, but here's all 10. Let's start at number 10. Hairdressers and beauticians. People tack on a decent tip. Hotel employees. Number 9, DJs at parties, especially if you put out a tip jar for song requests. Golf caddies get about $50 per player. Doormen at number 6, bartenders at number 5. The general rule is $1 per drink or 20% of your total tab. Uber and Lyft drivers at 4. 3 is babysitters and nannies. A lot of people tip on top of their hourly. Number 2 is food delivery drivers. Ton of jobs right now because of COVID. And servers are number 1. Tips are still how they make most of their money. I've been having a lot of trouble sleeping lately, but for some reason I have no trouble sleeping on Saturday and Sunday. Average person sleeps about 6 hours 31 minutes on weekdays, 7 hours and 22 minutes on weekends. The reason the world, I love this story, the reason the World Wildlife Federation went with a panda bear for their logo, because a panda bear is black and white, and that saves money on printing costs. Who knew? 1 in 4 people who've been working remotely during the pandemic say they've worked drunk or high in the past year. Men are 3.5 times more likely to do it than women. How about this gal in, where is it, Apex, North Carolina last week? She's at a Target. She's moving stuff around on the shelf, and all of a sudden a live snake slithers out. It wasn't venomous, but, you know, still, the Target staff got on the snake. They got it outside, not even their job description, and they think probably it snuck in on a shopping cart. And a guy in Florida was arrested on Saturday on drug charges, and then he tried to smuggle drugs into the jail by hiding them in his prosthetic leg. Now he's facing even more drug charges. But to go back to COVID here for a minute, you know, Apple started rolling out an update for the operating system for iPhones yesterday, and one of the biggest changes is that you'll be able to use the facial ID to unlock your phone even while you're wearing a mask. You can install it by going to Settings, then tapping General, then tapping Software Update. The world's most elite sex club is opening again. It's called Sanctum, but it's spelled S-N-C-T-M. And it's in New York. They're holding their first big event since the pandemic on May 15th. If you're interested, you only need $80,000 a year to join. Bon Jovi's going to do their first drive-in concert on May 22nd. Birthdays today, Sheena Easton, Sugar Walls, 62, Ace Frehley, and apparently we were saying it wrong all those years. We were saying Frehley, and apparently it is Frehley. He's 70 years old today. Kate Pearson of the B-52, 73, and Casey Kasem. Get Don on the phone. Would have had a birthday today. Ringo got married on this date 40 years ago to actress Barbara Bach, and the quintessential rock and roll Rolling Stones story occurred 15 years ago today in 2006. Keith Richards hospitalized for a mild concussion after he fell out of a palm tree while vacationing in the Fiji Islands. Doctors had to drill a hole in his skull to drain blood from his brain. They had to remove part of his skull in a second operation after part of his brain collapsed. To this day, I still don't know that anybody knows the reason why he was in a palm tree. I got a pretty good idea why he fell out. All right, as most of you know, I worked in Houston, Texas for a little under 2 years. This goes back maybe, six, 7 years ago. And when you're working in market number 4 at a big rock station, it's pretty easy to get people to come in, be on the air with you as guests. But I was still shocked and surprised when I found out that Dusty Hill of ZZ Top wanted to be on the show. And it's so funny, too, because when you're doing this job and you know somebody like that's coming in, you get really excited about it. And then the door opens up and he walks in and it's like, you're the guy from ZZ Top. He's a really, really nice guy, by the way. He married, I don't know that she was a performer other than maybe she would dance a little bit. He married her. She was very nice. She sat there in the studio while we did the interview, going back a couple of years for Dusty Hill of ZZ Top. Dusty, thanks for talking with us. So unless you're the Who or the Stones or the Moody Blues, people just don't know what to make of a band that has stayed together this long, what the secret is.
Actually, we're probably the only one with the same original guys in the band.
Yeah, because nobody checked out.
Nobody's checked out. Nobody's stumbled or anything. Same three guys, as Billy says, same three guys, same three chords. So here we are. Yeah, it's a love of playing live and love of recording, too. Just love of playing music. In Houston and in Texas, that's easy for us to do, keep it alive.
And I would imagine that mutual respect between and amongst the guys probably plays into it.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the early things, the first thing we did before we could even really afford it, it got separate tour buses. That's a key to longevity.
How Fleetwood Mac-ish of you.
What that shows you is in your mind, you're always happy to see one another, go on stage and create a little music and it's a celebration then. I mean, it is, what do I do? I play for a living. That'll give you a cue there.
Let's talk about touring, let's talk about playing, and let's talk about where the band is musically these days. What are you guys up to?
Well, we put a new record out last year, La Futur, and we're still working on that, touring on that. We'll be touring all summer in the States and also in Europe. We just got back from Australia all summer long. Well, probably till December we'll be out on the road in the U.S. mainly, in Canada, and like I said, also Australia and Poland and, Europe and places like that. And same thing, it's what we do, what I love to do. So we're actually just cranking it up right now.
So from the time the band was conceived, right up until the early part of the 1980s, it was this sort of rough-looking rock and roll band, sort of on the scruffy side. Mm. And then somebody had the idea for the Eliminator album in 1983 to do a left turn. It was out of character for you guys. You had the Sharp Dressed Man and Legs videos for MTV. You had those little Playboy centerfolds, Gina Tomasina, sort of running around.
Your name.
Yeah, there's a blast from the past. And suddenly, instead of this following that you did have, you went mainstream with that. Yuppies, teenagers, everybody loved ZZ Top. Just tell me a little bit about how that whole idea of doing that video and those videos sort of changed the band. How was that for you guys?
Well, actually, it's conducive of everything we do. I mean, if we really plan something, it doesn't work. What we do, when we started writing that album, Eliminator, we started playing around with new toys, what we call new instruments in the studio, and the sound started coming out. Now, at the time, there were a lot of people that were upset with us because they said we were not sticking to our roots or whatever.
They accused you of selling out.
Which is nonsense. You play what you play. Anyway, Eliminator and Afterburner were kind of an extension of each other. Anyway, when we started doing the videos, I mean, we had absolutely no idea what we were doing. So I can remember when we met with the director, Tim Newman, Randy Newman's cousin. We said, look, we have this hot rod. Let's use some girls. That's what we write the songs about. And let's be more of observers here and play the song. And, we're not a pretty boy band. What we are is what we are. So take that and see what you can put together. And everything else just turned out on the set. That's the way we work. little hand gestures and whatnot just turned into people do it at airports. I'm going to say hand gestures is not just the middle finger. I mean, you know, little video stuff, you know. And so when the videos clicked, that was great. You know, we added to our fan base. Not, we didn't change. And it opened up a lot of other stuff. And then through the years, I look in the audience and see somebody like 16 next to somebody in their 60s. So great, you know. So we got a song for them too, you know. I mean, whichever one it is.
And a footnote on those days too, 10 million copies of that album went. So that thing really, really resonated with people who were into music.
Yeah, I'll tell you a funny story. There's a thing called a Diamond Award. And what you get is if you sell 10 million copies of one record, you get this Diamond Award. It's purely about sales. It's nothing else, not popular or anything. So when you're there getting this award, you know, it's like, here's Megadeth and then here's Kenny G, you know. I mean, it's just the room, it's like the strangest room, you know. I'm sitting over there talking to Kenny Rogers, you know, like I said, some guy just had a, you know, some sort of nail through his tongue, you know. So I mean, you know, it just doesn't matter, you know. So that was, yeah, that was a very successful record for us.
All right, talk about Show Your Stripes. This is a real noble effort that you've gotten involved in. Tell people what it is and what your connection to it is.
People, making people aware, employers and vets of these .com things, where there's going to be like a lot of people coming back from the wars over the next number of years. And, you know, most of them are very well trained in something, you know, and it's a shame not to put that to work. You know, get them a J-O-B. You know, I mean, it's time to do that for the employer and for the vet. It's the least we can do for the vet. You know, I mean, of course we should do that. But, you know, you're going to miss the trick with the employers. You know, they're missing out on a wealth of a trained employees out there. So this military.com, monster.com, I mean, it's all out there for people to hook up and try to get some jobs flowing.
One last question. How many insane advertising executives over the years have come along with a big stack of money offering you that money if you guys will just roll some tape while you guys cut your beards off?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I mean, I have no idea what I look like under here. I mean, last time I looked, I was a devastatingly handsome fella. And that's what I choose to still believe. My wife doesn't know what I look like. I'm not going to do it on TV, you know, if I ever do it, which I wouldn't anyway. So I'm comfortable with it. We have had a few offers, you know, but the more offers, the more intriguing it is, you know. Billy and I just look at each other and wink, you know.
All right, Dusty, thanks very much for spending a little time with us here.
You betcha. Thank you. This is Dusty Hill with ZZ Top. JC, you need a shave, brother.
And that wraps up another JC podcast here at jcontheline.com for Tuesday, the 27th of April, 2021. We're here every weekday morning. We post at 7 a.m., but it's available for you anytime during the day. And oh, yes, by the way, a lot of you have asked about this. We're working on putting an archive up so that if you miss a show, you'll be able to go back and get it. We should have that hopefully in the next couple of days. Please continue to spread the word. Tell everybody that we're here every morning doing this show, and I think doing some stuff you can't get anywhere else. We'll talk to you bright and early tomorrow morning at 7. Have a great day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.